So good to be home this weekend. I call it my thank you tour. I went to go thank the pastors that came down to help us and got to meet two of the pastors up there. But it was so good to be home, but so good to visit friends that are part of what the fellowship and the impact we're making on the community. So praise the Lord. Well, it's a little loud. You can lower the volume a little bit. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I wanted to, everyone has the notes out, all right? We're good. All right, very good. If you don't have one, is there any left? I don't know. We ran out today. That's a good sign. Share with your husband or wife. The main point today, God's faithful people will always impact or influence things around them for righteousness. So get ready. Did you know that? Amen. You are going to impact, influence things around you for righteousness. So it's important to know that, and it's important to get ready for that. That's the main point of this sermon today. Get ready for impact. Get ready to impact people. Get ready to be used to impact. Reminder to write at least one thought down through your notes, and take these notes with you. You can start collecting them and pray when you get your prayer time and you don't know what to pray about. Start reading, and then God will start kind of speaking to you in your heart. So that's important to do that. So we finished our series on It's Time to Believe. Time to Believe. For Christians, it's time to believe. And by that we mean it's time to act on what we believe. And today we're starting a new series to get ready for impact. I had a great visit in San Antonio, thanking the churches that came to help us serve the community. But during the sermon, I said a phrase that I didn't even have written down in my notes. And sometimes, you just say something. And it really got a hold of me. And after the service, the pastor's wife was like, "I really like what you said about that." And I said, that's great. I'm thinking in my head, that wasn't even in my sermon, so that's good. It worked out. But it was something like this. The statement was something like this. Don't look at numbers in a church. Look at the impact a church is making to spread God's love. And then I thought of that. I said, there's a book right there, right? That's a good book right there. Good book title. Well, it's too long for a book title, but you know what I mean. It's a good phrase. And I started thinking about that a little deeper and praying about that, and that's what came with this new series, Get Ready for Impact. You individually got to do things to get ready to be used by God. Amen? So, it's so true, numbers, they matter in the sense that, when you have a large group of people all doing the same thing, there's a sense of push, right? With our eyes, there's a sense of push and excitement to that. But God's story and God's movement doesn't always work in numbers. Ask the 12 disciples, right? Ask Paul when he was alone in prison. He didn't have numbers, right? It was just him. And so pastors have a tendency to look at numbers, right? And people have a tendency to say if there's no numbers, there's no impact or no success. And that is totally wrong. I heard Billy Graham or somebody once say, I forgot it was Billy Graham, one of the big evangelists, that the majority of evangelists that were at the times in the 80s and 90s when they were out there at that time, most of them came from small churches. Think about that. The impact and the size are completely irrelevant. You can have impact. And sometimes God wants the numbers to make the impact. And sometimes God can make the impact with 12. And sometimes God can make the impact with... It's almost like Paul was on his own on this missionary journey. Paul didn't have all the Jewish church necessarily helping him to go to all these places in Greece and Rome. He would get money support here and there to go on. But the impact is not about the numbers. The impact is about the power of the Holy Spirit in a life. And that's the truth. And the impact is about the power of the Holy Spirit in the life. And that's what we got to get ready for. You're all going to be used somehow, some way to impact things in a mighty way. Sometimes it's going to be you or a small group. Sometimes it's going to be a larger situation. But the numbers don't even matter. What matters is that you are ready to be used by God to impact for the kingdom of God. Do you believe that in yourself? Right? Remember, one of the things we talked about, it's time to believe in yourself in the last series. So it's important to believe this and to know this, that you are called for greatness and to impact. So get ready for the impact. So when I said it, you know, that look, God doesn't look at numbers in a church. He looks at the impact the church is making to spread God's love. And I had one of those moments, you know, like God moments, confirmation from the Holy Spirit that this is what God is looking for. He's looking for impact. He's looking for people that are willing to impact. So that's a good segue, right, to what's happening this week. We have a food bank on Saturday, so we get an opportunity to help the community and impact the community in our way, in the best way that we can. So this Saturday, we have food bank distribution, and that's always a blessing to see that operation that God has put together work so smoothly. In less than an hour and a half, 200 cars are taken care of with groceries for a week or two. It's pretty remarkable if you think about it. But there's a lot of hard work that goes into that. These opportunities to serve, we need to take advantage of them and sow seeds of impact. That's important for us. And let's go back to the main point. So God's faithful people will always impact or influence things around them for righteousness. So it's time to get ready. So what do I mean by impact? So before I get there, what do I mean by impact? Before I get there, I want to just thank everybody for Pastor Appreciation Month. The fruit was really, really good. Daniel had a lot of apple. He loves those apples. But thank you so much. And for all the cards, you know, you all said some nice things. I don't know why you did that, but okay. I'm nice, I guess. But thank you all so much. It really, really touched me. One last thing I wanted to mention. At the food bank, we ask you to wear your shirts. Mark's wearing our beautiful shirt. Mark, you're going to be my model today. If you want one of these shirts, we still have some in the back. There, beautiful. Thank you. Perfect. You're the perfect model for this. Yeah, he didn't even know I was going to do this today. He said, God worked it all out. We still have shirts in the back. So we have a couple of small, large, a medium, X-large. So I think they were like $12 floated. I think there were $12 or something like that. So you just, if you want one of those, just work with a lawyer or somebody. He'll help you out. But anyway, those are there. We have a few extra, so if you want one, please get one. So the main point, God's faithful people will always impact, influence things around them for righteousness. So it's time to get ready. What do I mean by impact? Get ready to make the difference. If your first underline there, in your notes, difference. Get ready to make a difference, to impact people's lives for Jesus. You know that everyone is uniquely equipped to make an impact. Some of you will make an impact by praying for others. Some of you will make an impact by being an encourager, encouraging others when they're going through hard times. Some of you by helping others just by any way necessary, possible that you can. Some of you will make an impact financially by your finances. Some of you will make an impact by taking the lead in a ministry project or being part of something bigger than yourself. Everyone is uniquely created by God to make an impact for Jesus. Do you believe that? You are created by God to somehow, some way, make an impact to others. And you know, when we come to church, when we follow God, we have different ways of looking at things, and this is not in my notes, but let me try to say this as clear as I can. We first get saved, and we have that excitement, and that we're seeing things differently, and we can see God now, and we can see the difference between living for God and not living for God, and we feel cleansed, right, by His blood, and there's an excitement there, and we have a tendency to look at things as Christians as, although we would never say it out loud, but it is what we think inside sometimes, and it's what's in it for me. What's in it for me, for this Christian walk? Sometimes people begin to live for Christ because there's so much in it for them, which there is a lot of blessings in it for you. Right? The Bible's very clear about that. But sometimes we seem to, Christians sometimes focus too much about what's in it for me, how much can I get in blessings, and how much can I get in this and that. And really, as I've grown and I've learned more and more about the Word and more about my life, what I find to keep me focused is not to focus on what's in it for me. That's a given. God will bless His people. Right? And I don't need to focus on that, and when things aren't going well, go like, and totally let that control my emotions. When I start focusing on the impact or the bigger picture, what can I do to help people? What can I do to serve? What can we do to do this? When you get your eyes focused on what's in it for me, and get your eyes focused on what can I do to help, to serve, to be a part of something bigger than myself, to give. When you focus on that, that's where greatness and impact really begins to impact the whole community. You get it? So what's in it for me is kind of more babyish. I hope, am I stepping on anybody's toes? I don't. Kind of more like children, like me. Where human nature wants me to be taken care of, right? That's okay. But what I'm talking about here is changing our mindset from what's in it for me, in a sense. Yes, all the blessings are in His Word, but focus on how can I serve and help others, knowing that all the blessings and all that, it's just a given. God will take care of His people. God will take care of you. You don't have to focus on it so much. When you begin to focus on the bigger picture, in the kingdom, serving others and doing what you can to make a difference. Whether it's a little thing like we're doing, like the barbecue plate. So by the way, thanks everybody that helped with that. It went really, really smoothly because everybody did their little part, and it was just ran real smoothly. So I was really, really blessed to see the church working together. And those are the kind of things, whenever you can help, whenever you can serve, whenever you can do a little something, just keep adding those, and God's going to take care of the rest in your life. So keep it focused there. So it's time to make an impact, make a difference. Do you believe that you are uniquely qualified or uniquely created by God to make an impact for Jesus? Do you believe that this morning? Amen? A few of you? Okay, good. Because once you believe this, and you know that it's true, then comes the next part, which is, get ready. The enemy understands this, which is why he lies to you, which is why he lies to the church. The enemy understands your potential to make a huge impact. The enemy keeps reminding us that we aren't perfect. The enemy keeps reminding us that we are sad, that we are depressed, and the enemy keeps reminding us that we have anxiety and that we are just making it barely. He knows that every one of us in this room are destined and have the power of the Holy Spirit behind us that can make a huge impact in people's lives. Right? He knows that. So he spends all his time trying to convince you. The enemy keeps reminding us that what we see with our eyes is final. The enemy keeps trying to remind you what you're seeing, what you're going through, that's it. You know, it's not going to get any better. Those are lies. Because remember, it's never final until God says it's final. Amen? I've seen God do some amazing things and move some mountains. And something that didn't look possible become possible. He's so good. But the enemy knows all of this. And he understands your potential. Which is why in John 10:10, we all know the scripture, the enemy doesn't sleep, right? John 10:10 says, the thief, he cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But God's come to give you abundant life, right? Give you life and give it to you more abundantly. You know, the enemy, he's got a plan. If he lost you in salvation and you're saved and you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you're saved, then he goes to the next step and he wants you to make you ineffective. Because saved people who have the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives and are moving and operating and in that, they will impact people. And more people will come to Christ because of who you are, because of what you do, how you serve, what you do. And the enemy knows that. So the enemy is very active. The enemy is the author, right, of sin, of rebellion. The enemy is the author of all these things in the world that are wicked and evil. He's the author of all of that. And he's doing his best to keep us ineffective. And what I'm saying this morning is you're not called to be ineffective. You are called to make an impact. So get ready. Get ready. 1 John 3:8. If you'll turn there, 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Right? When we sin, where is that sin coming from? Who's the author of that sin? Sorry about that. The enemy. It doesn't mean you are the devil, right? It means that when we sin, we know that that's coming from the enemy. The enemy sins. And he's the author of that. So he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of the devil. So yes, the enemy is trying to keep you from growing, and the enemy is trying to stop you from making an impact. But we see in this verse that the whole purpose of Jesus Christ being manifested on this world was that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we have the tools, the ability, in the power of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, to destroy the works of the enemy. So even though the enemy does come to steal, to kill, to destroy, the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen. So your trials, your tribulations and stress and anxiety, all of that going on in your life are products of the enemy keeping you focused on the things that are temporary. There's a scripture that says, don't focus on the things that are temporary, that are carnal, they're temporary. Focus on the things that are unseen, for they're eternal. A lot of the reasons why we go through a lot of stress and anxiety and depression is because the enemy who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy has successfully convinced you to focus on the temporary. If you get this, this is a huge jewel to understand this. And to all that fear and stress and anxiety and depression, all of that is a product of the enemy convincing you to focus on the short term, on the things that we see temporarily. It's so true. Because when you begin to focus on the bigger picture, which is, rejoice not that demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that one day we will be dancing in the streets of gold with our loved ones who have gone before us. When we begin to know that's our destiny and that's what we have, there's joy in that. And there's peace in that. But yet the enemy is saying, no, don't look at that because I know I lose at the end. But look over here on the temporary where I can keep you stressed and depressed. You see, he knows this, that you have awesome potential. And if he can just get you focused on all that temporary stuff, then you will become ineffective. You see, he knows this. He knows he loses at the end. He knows. And there's also a scripture that says, do not get weary in well-doing. In due time, you will get the reward that's due to you. In due time. Yes, and so you see, the enemy is trying to get you to lose sight on the impact and the joy and the peace in our walk with God. And if we can just let that go, then we have crossed a big hurdle. Your trials and tribulations and stress and anxiety and depression are a product of the enemy keeping you focused. So that's the next underline. Focus on the things that are temporary. And here's the stepping on toes part. Some people like to be sad. It's unfortunate. You need to fight your way out of that because there's nothing good there. I call it the pity party. And God does not like to join pity parties. He does not like them. Get out of them. Focus on the big picture. Yes, there's the little picture, and you got to get through it. The hard times, you got to get through it. You got to get through it. But we're going to read a story in the Bible about someone who went through it. It's Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 through 28. If you'll turn there. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 through 28. How do you get ready for impact? How do you get ready? How do you make sure you're not focusing on these temporary things that the devil has you all stressed over? And how do you stay focused on the bigger picture? And first of all, it begins with knowing that God has a good plan for you and that God is a good God. And He loves you. So, when we read Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 through 28, we read about the plot to kill Daniel. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, the prince might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was with him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Another second in command, like Joseph. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. So the other people got jealous that Daniel was like second in command. And the other ones sought occasion to find a fault on Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these jealous men, why shall we not find any occasion against Daniel, except we had this one thing concerning the law of his God? Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and governors and the princes and counselors and captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute, right, or a law, and to make a firm decree that whatsoever shall ask petition of any god or man for 30 days save the king, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now the king, of course, being flattered that they wanted to only worship him, established the decree and the sign of the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now then Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake upon to the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or man or any man within 30 days, save the king? O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. The king answered and said, the thing is true, and according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that hath signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. So the trap was set, and he fell right into the trap, the king did. And Daniel was not going to stop praying to his God. And they caught him breaking the law. And so now, the king has to follow through on his decree, or his credibility would be ruined. So the king then, in verse 14, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He's like, oh no, what did I do? Daniel's my favorite. He's a great administrator, a great leader. What did I do? And then Daniel, he can't figure out a way out. He signed this thing. He can't figure out a way out. He's up all night trying to figure a way out. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, now, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which is the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded that they bring Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Good luck, Daniel. You're going into the lion's den. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of the music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went into the haste into the den of lions. And when he had come to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Then was this king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded that he brought those men with had accused Daniel, and he cast them into the den of lions, their children and their wives, and the lions had a mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people of the nations and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. This is a remarkable turn of events. There was a plot to kill Daniel, and God intervened. The angel shut the lion's mouth, and it all turned around where the people who plotted against him were killed. And not only was Daniel saved, but everything turned around where the whole kingdom had to acknowledge that Daniel's God was the true God. That's pretty big impact. That's huge impact. So number one, what was the first thing? How do you get ready for the impact? How do you become Daniel in the sense of the story? How do you become that person that impacts the community like this? Or people around you like this? Number one is Daniel was faithful in prayer, in scripture, in the word, and in worship. You got to get that into your bones. You got to get that in down into the marrow of your bones. Deep. Prayer, Bible reading, and worship. Like we come together on Sunday morning and just worship. Thank you, Lord. Every week. Every day. Every Sunday morning, but every day. Worship. Those three things. So this has to be a fact in your life. or you will wander in the wilderness wondering what is going on. Amen? It's so true. Prayer, scripture, and worship keeps us centered and stable on a solid foundation. This is the foundation of making an impact. This is the base of you. It's easy to say, God understands, I'm tired. Go to bed without talking to Him. It's easy. But when you get this into your marrow of your bones, I cannot go a day without praying to my God and thanking Him and petitioning to Him. Because you understand that that is the life, that is the foundation of this power of God in your life. Get it down deep. And David and Daniel had it. He understood this. So even though there was a decree, he was not going to stop praying to his God. Number two on your notes, expect the enemy to plot against you like they plotted against Daniel. Just because you get saved and you get that excitement, but after you get saved and the excitement is over, isn't there that period where like, wait, this is not the way my Christian life is now supposed to be. Remember that? Things are not going perfect anymore. What happened? There's always that moment. Expect that moment. Don't be ignorant, right? The Bible says, I wish you not be ignorant about these things. The enemy will attack because he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So don't be surprised when the enemy attacks you. Always remember, God wins. Amen? And it's time for the church to know that their destiny is good and the streets of gold are ahead. And number three, expect the valley and the trials like Daniel in the lion's den. Expect them. Expect them. But never doubt, even when the lion's right there in front of you, never doubt that God is in control. Amen. Church, there's so much impact potential in us. There's so much potential for us to help people, to serve people. So much there that we can't even see it yet all with our own eyes. And that's why I think this series, Get Ready for Impact, is so important. Yes, it is focused on impacting the community or others, but it really is always about you and your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't get too busy in doing good work and forget to pray and read your Bible. You can't get too busy with life and forget to spend time with God. And the enemy will attack, just like he attacked Daniel. But like number four says, when the enemy attacks, expect God to intervene. God will not allow his faithful to ever be defeated by the enemy. Amen? Psalms 55:22 says, cast your cares upon me. Cast your cares upon the Lord. He will not suffer his righteous to be moved. I love that scripture. Close your eyes, bow your heads. Expect it. Expect to make an impact. Expect for the enemy to try to stop you. And expect to win in victory in the name of Jesus. Expect those things. We're not ignorant. We know who we serve. We know we win. We know the enemy will try to stop us from advancing. We know he'll try to depress us. We know he'll try to give us anxiety. We know who he is, and he's a liar. And we know that Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. And we are the church. Expect God to always turn darkness into light. We want to just end this way today. If you're hearing this message and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it's time. It's time. It's time to live with a mindset that you're going to impact. You're going to make an impact for God, for His kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Before we get there, if there's anyone in this place that the Spirit of God, there's something going on in your heart. Well, you're convicted. You're not. You haven't been listening to God, and He's trying to get your attention. I want to open up the altar. If that's you this morning, you need to recommit to the Lord. There may be no one, there may be, but I just want to give this opportunity for souls, for you, to have an opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to respond to this because I need to change the way I look at things. I need to put God first in everything. If that's you, just come to the altar, and I want to pray with you because I believe the enemy is trying to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But you have a choice. You have a choice to surrender all. So if that's you, as I continue, just make your way up to the altar. And I'm going to pray for you individually. So if that's you, do that. In the meantime, the rest of you that... Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Impact. It's time to come back. Time to return to the Lord. It's time. Don't be ashamed. It's time. It's time. Never miss an opportunity when the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart to take action, because He chips away. He chips away until we totally surrender to Him. He chips away. And this is part of the process. It's time to make an impact. It's time to get it right. It's time to surrender everything to Him. Michelle, lead us in song.
I know they're empty, but with You they can be used for beauty and Your
I'm I lift my hands up, God.
give you all my life. I'm letting it go, a living sacrifice. No longer my own, all I am is yours. All I am is surrender to you.
Let's all stand. Get ready for impact, church. Get ready. Get ready. There's a spirit in here of action. Amen? Of action. Hallelujah. Victory. Just recognizing that the enemy's trying and he's going to lose and it's all in vain. He will lose. We won't focus on the temporary. We will dance on the streets of gold. Hallelujah. Lord, these are your people who've come on a Sunday morning, are faithful, and I just pray now as they go out these walls that they'll take the impact with them in every situation, that you will give them boldness and courage to pray for others outside this church, or to give someone an encouraging word that's biblically based. And Lord, we are the church that is going to impact people in the name of Jesus. So Heavenly Father, I give you honor, praise, and glory that this was not just any day. That it's a day that's building upon something that's bigger than ourselves. And the individuals that just needed to recommit or to replace their foundation, Lord, that you've done that. And we can leave this place on solid footing. We're ready to make an impact. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.